Good evening to our audience around the globe. You've been listening to Studio W, The Buzz, your global radio network. Hey, we circle the globe 24 hours a day, 7 days a week with the finest in broadcasting anywhere around the world. You can find us anywhere. Apple, just download from your Apple App Store, Studio.W, Android, Studio W. You can even say, Alexa, play Studio W. And please go to the website, StudioWBuzz.com. That's StudioWBuzz.com. And now it's time for Miss CeCe's Kitchen. Good afternoon or good evening, Miss CeCe. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Miss CeCe. Hello. Your mic is muted. I see Victoria there.
Hello, William.
Yes, yes. Hello. How are you?
Hi, I'm here. I'm sorry about that.
All right, that's quite all right. And Miss Victoria, how are you?
I am well.
Yes. Well, I'm gonna wish both of you a very, very Merry Christmas.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
Yes.
And I'm not gonna be showing my face today. I talked to you about it earlier. I don't know what's in the air, but it's something going on. And we talked about this, William. But Miss Moody, how are you, dear?
I am well. Blessed to see another day.
I know.
And
that's
feeling fine.
Well, William, I'm going to let you turn it over to us. I'm sorry. I kind of jumped the gun a little
bit. No, go on. The airways are yours.
Oh, why, thank you, sir. Well, good evening, Radio Land. This is Miss CeCe with Miss CeCe's Kitchen. This is where we do real talk. We stir up controversial issues, but we're going to do something a little bit different today. And so y'all just hang with me in light of everything that's going on there. I feel, and Miss Moody, I don't know if you feel this with me. There's such a depression in the land where people have an anxiety. And I was just, in fact, I started not to come on and I talked to women. And the more I laid there and tried to, you know, nurse my own emotional status, I'll say it like that, because we're all human here. I said, let me get up. And when I encourage somebody else, I feel encouraged. So how do you feel about that, Miss Moody?
Yes, that is a part of ministry. It seems as though when we are feeling a little down in the dumps, that we get rejuvenation, we get strength by ministering to other people. Because what happens is when we are helping someone else, it brings us out of the low place where we are.
Right.
And we have to come up fighting for someone else. It's something how most of the time we fight more for others than we fight for ourselves.
Isn't that amazing? That is so amazing. It's almost like it puts like a temporary bandage on our state of mind so we don't have to face our reality. Isn't that something?
It is.
I'm telling you. Listen, Media Land, and I think I'm going to open the phones as well. In fact, I'm feeling led to do so. So you can call in if you have any questions. The number that you can call in is 951-228-9980. 951-228-9980. And I will put that number up again. But I just want everybody to know that a whole lot of people in this world today, is going through some horrific things. Miss Moody, you know what, girl, I was, and sometimes I just really hate to watch the news, but then too, I stay up on the severity of a matter when it comes to people's depression and their anxiety. And it seems like the people that I've talked to here in these past few months, they have lost loved ones. I'm telling you, some back to back, and many are questioning, how come I'm still in this status, and how come I'm not married, and how come I don't want to be married, all kinds of things. I'm like, Lord have mercy. I'm trying to keep my mind positive, you know, but this is part of, and I'll say this because even though we're in Miss CeCe's Kitchen, we have a ministry, and we have the ministry that God has given us to really address some things that most people are afraid to do. And so we want to encourage you today. And so I just wanted to start off here, and then I'm going to be inviting some folks. And then Miss Moody, I want you to come on and jump on in, because we just going to talk about what we're going to talk about today. We know that the seasons are changing and an uncertainty of life that people are dealing with. And you have great concern. You don't know from one day to the next what is going to transpire. Then there's times that you get very overwhelmed with the urgency to do something. And a lot of times, many times when people want to do something about a matter, or they have, they're in an arena of feeling helpless because we feel that it's totally out of our hands. And so what do you think about that, Miss Moody, when people want to do something, they feel helpless and it seems totally out of their hands, and they feel like, hey, I don't have a voice. Anybody's, they're not going to listen to me. I'm just one little pea in the pot, you see. And so who's going to hear me? What do you think about that? How do you encourage them to move on and share their voice in these trying times?
Well, one thing I can say, us being Bible-believing people, mm-hmm. and the first thing that we can do, even when no one else can hear us, we know that God can hear us.
Yep.
And we can pray, because prayer changes things and prayer changes people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of times what prayer will do, prayer will cause us to get out of ourselves and really ask God, what is the best way that I can impact the situation?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we get really derailed because we want to be the biggest thing on the totem pole.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something that's called the domino effect.
Mm-hmm.
Those that are dominoes, if you see them lined up, they're all in different places.
Mm-hmm.
But when
mm-hmm.
one falls, it causes a chain reaction.
Right.
There's always something small you can do. You might think prayer is a small thing. Prayer just is the beginning. We talk mm-hmm. to God, and then we ask God, how can we help?
Right.
Sometimes, you know, I love to feed folks. That's just something I love to do. I like to cook when I feel like cooking.
Okay, gotcha.
And I had a passion for feeding the hungry.
Uh-huh.
There's been several little instances where I was able to do things, but for a long time, I really didn't know how to go about doing it.
Got it.
And I waited, you know, I still prayed for people. God knew that was a passion that I had.
Uh-huh.
And I really wanted to do something big, but a lot of times I found out it wasn't always something big. Sometimes it was a coworker.
Okay, got it.
Sometimes it was just a sister in Christ. God would tell me, go buy some groceries. I'm like, God, buy some groceries for who? I'm like, I don't have to know the who. You're God. I know I hear you.
Come
and
on.
I would buy the groceries.
Come on.
I called one person. They said, well, it's not me. You know, things are good right now. I said, God, I know you sent me to buy these groceries when I first started out, you know.
Right.
And then I called person number two.
Okay.
Person number two, that's who it was.
Ooh.
And they said, you know what? I was sitting here talking to God. And it's funny because I think it was Christmas.
Wow.
And I had been telling God, you know, these are me and my kids, and I really don't have my Christmas feast that I'm used to.
Right.
And she said she talked to God, and one person bought a turkey. Another person said, I thought about you, and they bought I'm in the country, so they got a bushel of collard greens.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
And then I came in with the rest of the fixings.
Gotcha.
But I couldn't reach. Look, we want to feed the people in Africa, but when we got a neighbor right next to us or on top of us that's in need, and we get caught up in where they're driving a nice car, they're living in a good house.
Right.
You don't know the situation. Just because I'm driving a nice car, it does not mean I might have had money to pay the car payment, but I might have slacked on the food. You don't know what people's situation is. So what I'm saying to encourage people who there's things where they feel hopeless, don't feel so hopeless. Do what you can do. Mm-hmm. There's times I was in line to at the grocery store and somebody was missing some change. And I said, here's $10 or let me take care of that. Right. God doesn't want us to save the whole world. He just wants us to do what we can do in our corner.
You know, I love the way you said that, because when you say that God does not, we can't save the whole world, but guess what? We can put a mark on the map, you see, and see people. I think they get overwhelmed. And you said something, and I had to think back. I said, you know what? I think most of us have been in the status where we didn't know, because I remember even reflecting when my children were young. And, you know, I love the Lord, but I couldn't understand why I had to go through such travesties, especially when I came out of that as a young girl. And so I thought my suffering had ended, you see. And so that caused more depression on me, because it was like, oh my goodness, I couldn't make things ends meet and this, that, and the other. And guess what? People, the Lord will lay on people's heart to do for you. And they don't even know why. The Lord will even let your enemies bring you something. Okay. And they don't even know why. Amen. And so what I'm saying is, when I didn't know how I was going to feed my children, because that was my thing. I'm a mother. I was wanting my children would have to go without suffering. And it's like the Lord spoke in my spirit. They didn't even knock on my door, because the person didn't want to be seen while they were blessing me. And that, to me, that's humility in that individual. A big bag, two bags of groceries, okay? And I mean with everything that I needed. All I could do, Miss Moody, is just cry, because God came to my rescue right then, okay? And so all I could do was thank him. But I think we need to learn to thank God for the little things. And the reason why I'm talking about this today, because I've been led in this segment to talk people off of an emotional ledge, to committing bodily suicide. And the reason why I have to go here, there's so many people who are ending their lives because they feel like it's hopeless. There's no way out. Why should I continue living? Folks, this is the trick of the enemy. Let's go. We're going to go church on you today. This is the trick of the adversary. And when you learn how to ID what you're really battling, when you learn how, what is coming after you. But you know what? We talk about the things of the world, and we see the world. Like I said, the world is in a chaotic state. We from White House to the outhouse. Let's just be real. Politicians, and they going at each other. They're going at each other so much, we don't even count anymore, hardly. I mean, I could say that and stand on it, because it's all about their power struggle. But when you have leaders that have power struggles, guess what? The children, and I'll say mothers and fathers, let's get real close here. When you have mothers and fathers that are in a struggle, guess who suffers? It's the children. They suffer if they have children, okay? Pre-adventure, they do have that. But they suffer behind, I call it, immaturity of many. And so we have to, and then people are raised in that atmosphere, and they're raised in a fearful atmosphere. They're a product of their environment. And so the uncertainty, and some people get depressed at the tip of a hat. And that's what I don't understand, is because when you think about it, Miss Moody, when you think about seeing somebody who's sitting, and I was looking at Los Angeles, it's over inundated with homeless, and they're sitting out there, they're laying out there. Many of them don't have covering. Many of them have tents, and we complain because we don't have a steak on the table. You understand? And so this is a concern of mine, and you're causing yourself to be devastated over that. Okay. What do you think about that?
It's sad, but it's so true.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why the Bible says fear is torment. Mm-hmm. The fear of the unknown.
Right.
Fear of the unknown causes suicide.
Right. Right.
Fear of, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, so I need to end it today.
Right.
Fear that whatever they need is not going to come through.
Right.
fear of being in the situation that they've seen someone else in, and they have that mentality, I'm not going out like that.
Right.
See, when you look at TV, which is a fantasy, come on now, it's not real.
Come on.
It paints different pictures about how it's so cavalier to take your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not cavalier, it's the coward's way out.
Wow. Come on.
Fear is truly torment.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
why, even though, you know, we keep going back to God, because, you know, God has taught us these things, that when we don't know
mm-hmm.
what to do and where to go, we know that we serve a God
mm-hmm.
that will show us the way. Now, keep in mind, it's not always the way we think God's going to do it.
Right.
Sometimes it's not that someone's going to show up to your house. We're talking about groceries, but groceries is a metaphor for whatever you need from God that you feel like you have to have.
Come on.
It's not going to be like a Hallmark special or a Lifetime special, and somebody, the neighborhood's going to show up with a basket full of groceries.
Right.
But sometimes God will lead you to where your next meal is coming from.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I truly experienced it in my mm-hmm. in my youth. There's some things where I really didn't know where the next meal was coming from.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he would tell me, go over to so-and-so's house. And I'm like, God, what are you talking about? I ain't begging nobody for any. I'm just saying where I was.
Right.
I'm not begging nobody for nothing. If I'm hungry, nobody'll never know it unless my
friend say it.
If it growl, I start coughing to cover it up. Because, you know, I was raised that way. Can somebody say amen?
Amen, honey. I already know.
So I would go over, and I had a friend whose house I would go over. The Lord said, go over there. And the children were hollering, Mama, I'm hungry. Mama, I'm hungry. And she would say, I gave the kids sandwiches. That I said, honey, sandwiches are snack. And she said, you know what? You want to feed them? You cook.
Wow.
I got in the kitchen. I started cooking for the kids.
Wow.
And me cooking for the kids is how I got a meal.
Come on. Wow.
And God still provide. We're looking, you know, we're so astute, and we want things like it's on the Hallmark channel, like it's on Lifetime. But God will give you witty ideas, not knowing that's how I was going to get a meal that day.
Right.
Because I couldn't dare tell anyone, because I dressed nice. That's because I was taught when you feel your worst, dress your best.
Come on. Those
clothes I bought when I had money. Come on now. So nobody knew the state that I was in.
Right. And you know what, Victoria, that is such a key. Now, I want to, and you stay right there, because I want to break it down, sadness and sorrow and depression of spirit. We listen to, and one of the things I think we need to really stop doing is when we get in that mindset, because if you notice around the seasons and the holidays is when people, it almost like it's a trigger for them.
Yes.
Way before then, they were happy in the status that they were in and thankful for the status that they were in, because they knew that somebody else was worse off than them, if that makes sense. But yes. When it comes down to the holidays, I believe because mentally we are fed, subliminally, we are fed that we have to have these things. We have to obtain these things. The anxiety, the rushes in the air to go shopping and tame this and festive and things like that. But what we need to remember is the reason for why they are celebrating and the reason why they should be celebrating.
Yes.
If you know, this time factor, and I was thinking about it too. I got out of this long time ago, because I'm going to tell y'all going to get mad at me, and I'm going to go here with a whole lot of y'all who got taking the cross out from the churches, but keeping the Christmas tree in your house. Okay, I said it. Yes, okay. Get me later, all right? But I'm saying that you put more trust in that than you put the trust in the Lord, because he is the one who has brought you through from up until this time, okay, up until December, okay, even though you've struggled with loss of life in your families, you've struggled with sometimes you couldn't pay your bills, okay, but you knew that, you know what, whatever state, I'm not going to pass out because I can. Some people get anxiety over that. And then too, if you came from where I came from, we were poor when I come up, okay? And so my thing is this, it is what it is. If you didn't have it, you just didn't have it, you see. But that's before I had my children. Of course, my whole mindset changed. It was a whole different baby. But my thing is this, is we have to realize that there is somebody that is worse than you. And I reflected earlier about those on Skid Row. And I go down, and what makes me feel more appreciative is when I go visit sites and when I pay attention to people with God, where he shows me where they're out in the street and they're cold and it's raining and you're sitting in your comfortable domains. You may not have everything you want, but God has given you things that you need. And I really believe that we have to be thankful for wherever we're at, because I tell you folks, we're in the wheelhouse when it comes to the blessings of the Lord. He can't bless many of us with things because we hold up what God has for us because of our attitude in our current situation. What do you think about that, Victoria?
It's so true. Mm-hmm. It's so true. And I want to kind of glean off of something you said a little earlier. Mm-hmm. During the Christmas and any holiday season, depression goes up. It goes up almost double of what it is during any other time of the year.
Yes.
Because we're looking for different things. But you have to be careful. And like you said, folks put the Christmas tree and take the cross out, however, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, but really you have to realize that the society send subliminal messages to make you feel like you have to have these things.
Yes.
How do I know? During Christmas, they start Christmas during Halloween.
They go right past Thanksgiving, okay?
Yeah. They're pulling out the this and the that and the, and I don't get it twisted. You know, I celebrate Christmas. I have a little Christmas tree sitting on my table.
I got you.
And sometimes I pull the whole tree out.
Okay.
But the thing of it is, society keeps telling you things, and we unconsciously, we get used to that. When you go in the stores, what do? Play Christmas music.
Yes.
The Christmas music is geared toward your flesh,
right,
which makes you want to do more things. That makes you want to shop longer. That's why you walk around, you hear the Christmas music, you can go to the store to pick up one thing and you come out with 25.
Wow.
See, what it is, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
Indeed.
The thief, which is Satan, he comes to take away the deity of Jesus, turn Christmas into Santa Claus, and that I got to go give a whole bunch of gifts when Jesus is the gift.
Listen, let me jump right in right there. You said something. They are taken away from, and the reason why I made that parable about, not a parable, actually, it's actually happening about the cross and the tree. And I understand the significance of both. The cross is more significant. I mean, I'm telling you, what's disheartening for me is that the church has accepted the concept of some of these charlatans who put out falsification of what the season is about. Now, my thing is this.
You just went out, Dr. CC.
Huh?
It had a pause in there.
Oh, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
All right. Thank you. Okay, great. So they took out the significance, and it's like a brainwashing method. You understand?
Yes.
So here's the deal. Here's the deal. And then too, what it's geared to do. Now, if I watch too much news, I have a heaviness on me. Okay.
Yes.
And you know why? Because of the travesties, feeling helpless, not able to make statements and share my opinion because I feel like my opinion doesn't matter if I would share my heart. Because the way the world is going now, they're not concerned about your feelings in matters. It's because you have an entity that is so gung-ho in their pursuit of power. Now, and it causes a heaviness on those folks, those of us who have caring souls. Now, a lot of folks, as you said, Miss Victoria, there's times that you didn't have food, right? But you went over to a friend and you fixed dinner, and then that was your meal. I was under a woman, I called her my Nana, and she, what taught me about her, she would just sing, and she would look in her cupboards, and she didn't have much, but she would go in there and just sing, and what she took out, she would whip up some flour and do some things, and I'm telling you, when she put it on the table, I believe that God blessed her in her spirit of joy, and she did not fall into heaviness because she didn't have what she wanted. Does that make sense? But when she brought it to us, you talking about it tasted better than any fried chicken or steak. I don't know what she did. My daughter and I, we talk about that now. We called her Big Mama, okay? And yes, from the country. And I'm talking about back in the day, Big Mama would get in that kitchen and they would cook. They would make their little look like much. And I really believe this is where God wants us to get emotionally. Now, listen, I need to read this, Miss Victoria, about manifestations of heaviness and yes. Then what we are to look for. When you know what you're looking for or know what your experience is, then you're going to know how to turn that thing. In other words, I say flip the script, turn the page.